Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pulse WV Live in the Morning. And I am your host, John Fowler, and it's so glad to have you tuned in. We're trying to get Pastor Jay in this morning, and so let me see here. Let me just call him. I'm trying to get him in on video, but I can't do it. So let me just get a hold of him here on the phone, because he's sitting up there, and it's just just saw him just a minute ago on TV, and it was just, just a beautiful scenery behind him. It looked really, really cool. I just try to get him this way. I don't know if he'll answer this way. And so he doesn't answer that way, so let me try another way here. Messenger. Let me see. Let me call him right here. Try him this way. Hello, is that you?
Hello?
Jay?
Yes.
Hey, we got you, I think. We had to do the phone thing.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only way we can make it work today. People can hear you, though. I don't think it's...
Okay.
Hey, there you are. Can you see me?
I'm here. Man, I see you.
I see you, too. Shame that nobody else can see you.
I got this... I'm outside with this nice background, and...
I don't know how to show them everything. That way. That's the best way that I can do it, is just to show them... There you are right there. And is there a delay when I do that, or is that...
No, I think I hear you fine. No delay.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. Well, I'll work on the technology part of this thing and figure out why we can't do that. But it's so good to see you.
Well, good to be here. Good to be here. Wish I wasn't here. Wish I was there. But I'm having a minor, small, nothing procedure on Monday. And the hospital, when I went yesterday and had to do my COVID test, told me that I had to remain quarantined for all the time up to the test on Monday. So that's kind of frustrating. So I'm stuck here at the house, and I'm going to get caught up on some things that I need to get done.
Well, that's awesome. So that procedure is on Monday?
Yeah, and it's just a test. It's nothing. It's just a one of those precautionary things.
It's not like brain surgery.
No.
Yeah, if they did brain surgery on us, it's hard to tell what they'd
find. I mean, do pray for me if you're listening and you want, do pray. Because I do have to be put to sleep for it. But, in hospitals right now are just a weird time. So,
yeah.
That is for sure. One of those things, but I can't put it off. So
I got you. Well, so what's going on in your world?
Well, we finished up this past Sunday, message number 6 in our Still Small Voice. And we ended it with the scripture and the part of scripture that really led me to this, to this series of messages all along. We came out of 1 Kings chapter 19, and we started, we focused in on Elijah a little bit. And we all remember Elijah had this great moment where he took on all of the prophets of Baal and, had a competition about whose God would burn up the sacrifice and everything. And Elijah won, through a great move and power of God. God showed up and burned up the offering and sopped up all the water through fire around. And, Elijah was able to pursue the prophets of Baal and kill them. And, so after this great victory, Elijah hears that Jezebel is going to kill him. And he comes to this place where he feels like he's the only one standing up for the things of God. And he comes to this place where he feels alone and he feels frightened. He feels depressed, overwhelmed, and, like pastors feel all the time. Where'd you go? You're not there to get me coffee. What are you doing? I'm not there to get me coffee.
What'd you say?
I said, I'm not getting me coffee. Where are you going?
I had to get a pen so I could write down what you're talking about. I do. I take notes notes when you do this. Do you like what's on the screen? Can you see
that? You're good that way.
Can you see what's on the screen?
Huh?
You can't see what's on the other screen.
No, I just see our chat.
Yeah,
that's all I see.
What I put on what's on YouTube and Facebook, it says Pastor J. Mace Winfield Pulse on the phone.
On the phone.
I mean, we are tech. We just can't get you on the screen, but we can get you on the phone.
Yeah.
That's funny. Go ahead. I'm sorry. So, First Kings, where?
Can't teach old dogs new tricks.
I'm going to learn.
So, Elijah gets to this place to where he's really struggling. And, he's just kind of hiding in a cave. And God sends angels to, and this is what scripture says. The angels come and touch him and bake him a cake and give him water. And Elijah responds to that by waking up, eating the cakes, and going back to sleep. And then another angel comes and touches him and bakes him a cake and eats water and drinks water. I don't know about you, John, but if an angel is coming and baking me a cake,
I know.
I'm gonna be pretty motivated. Right, I'm gonna see God's hand moving on my behalf, and I'm gonna be pretty motivated to do whatever it is I'm called to do. Right,
right.
I would think, because
here's how
Elijah is, and Elijah's in this place where he just fully believes that he's all alone in this crusade or fight for God. And, if we're not careful, we can get that place. We can get to that place a lot of times. And so I want to share with you what happened when God and Elijah came to deal with this. We're going to start at verse 9 in 1 Kings 19. And it says, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Basically, God saying, I have things for you to do. I have work for you to do. Why are you here? And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the quake, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And I think this scripture kind of puts today's Christianity into perspective for us. Number one, we're no different than Elijah, right? Things mount up on us. We become overwhelmed, and, we have our own personal fleshly struggles mixed in with our desire to serve the Lord and lift him up and make sure he's number one in our life. But I think beyond that, we want to see God consume sacrifices with fire every day.
Right.
We want to see God send the wind to literally break a mountain apart every day. We want to see the fire every day. We want the earthquakes. We want the tangible moves of God before us every day. And if as Christians, that's the kind of emotional Christianity that we're living, something that moves our emotions and something that moves our ooh, cool factor, right? Mm-hmm. Look what God did. Wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that cool? And that's what's driving our Christianity more than our relationship and our ability to hear the still small voice of God when the emotion runs out, when the ooh and the ah and the wow factor of the things God will do sometimes, right?
Right.
And hopefully more often than not, absolutely, he's a God of miracles and he's a God of promise and he's a God of power, and he will absolutely move in all of those ways. But if our Christianity is reliant on those kind of moments, then we are going to find ourselves in places of struggle, places of depression, places of feeling overwhelmed and stressed. And, you know, God shows up and speaks to Elijah and shows him this great wind that breaks down a mountain, and then shows him this earthquake, and then shows him this fire, and then says, but I'm not in those things.
Right.
I'm not in those things. I command those things, and those things respond to me and do what I've asked them to do. But I'm not in the wind. I'm not in the earthquake, and I'm not in the fire. I'm in you.
Wow, that's
good. I'm in you, and I'm speaking to you in a still, small voice, and I want you to hear me, and I want you to respond to me, and I want you to do the things that I'm calling on you to do.
It seems like that. It seems like that people are searching for the signs and wonders, and what they do is they will base their Christian life on signs and wonders. But the signs and wonders lead you towards the emotional part of Christianity, which will cause you to go up and down because you're going by feeling more so than faith.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I'm not striking out against, you know, the emotions that come from, you know, very heart-centered worship that brings us into the presence of God. And I'm not taking away, you know, those ooh and ahs. Those ooh and ahs are what I always call spiritual Kodak moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And things that, you know, we should set up altars for in our heart and our mind, just like they set up physical altars, you know, back in the days of the Bible. You know, those are altars for us, and those are moments for us to take refuge in and know, hey, God moved here. And if God's going to move here, God's going to move here. So I'm not taking those moments away from anyone, and I'm not speaking against those moments. Those moments are important. But yes, as you said, we can become very emotional in our Christianity. And when the emotions aren't happening, you know, when we're not, you know, when we're not seeing the power thumping God of heaven and everything else and everything, we can sometimes lose sight of who it is that's speaking to us. Sometimes our emotions will draw us into, you know, Satan who will create emotion for us and try to say that he's God, like he did with Adam and Eve.
Right. That's good. You're watching the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition in the morning with Pastor John Fowler. We have on the phone Pastor Jay Mace from the Winfield campus of the Pulse, and Jay is talking about the Still Small Voice series that he just finished up. This is part 6. You can catch all the other parts of our conversations that have been face-to-face. This one just happened to be on the phone today, but you can catch them on YouTube as well as Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcast, as well as Google Play. So I encourage you to go in and listen to the other 5 so that you can get them, as well as going to the Pulse Winfield Live Facebook and listen to the whole sermon. I guess they would be on there as well. So what do you think? So what is the response? I mean, how when you tell people what you're talking about, that it's not in the wind and it's not in the part of that, but it's in that still small voice. Do people say, ah, that, do they have an aha moment?
I think so. You know, I had several comments. It was funny, you know, with everything going on, people are very overwhelmed. So, you know, the message, the live message seemed to focus a lot on that aspect. And so I was kind of worried how people would respond to that. You know, felt fully anointed in it. So I wasn't worried that I was outside of the anointing, but, you know, I just, you know, some people, you know, when they're in that tough place, you know, don't respond well to that, you know, to that push, if you will. So yeah. I was kind of wondering how people would respond to it. And before I got home, I had a text from someone in our congregation who was watching via live stream that day, and who thanked me, said, "I needed to hear this morning. I had allowed myself to get, caught up in everything that's going on and kind of lost my focus." And I'm paraphrasing.
Sure.
But, you know, she said, "Thank you. I needed this kick today to get focused again," because and then throughout the day, I must have had probably 10 different people reach out to me in some way who were either there live or who watched it and all said, you know, I needed to hear this. You know, you're right. I come to church and, you know, if I don't get swept away in the worship, or I don't get swept away in this or that and the other, I kind of leave feeling like, oh, that was an okay service. And wow, if I'm treating God that way, this is what one of the texts said to me. He said, "Wow, if I'm treating God that way, like, wow, God, you were only okay today." That really speaks volumes about my relationship and the value that I place on hearing God's voice and responding to it regardless of winds and earthquakes and fires. And I read that text and I was just like,
wow.
Yes, that is it. That was the whole point right there. So, yeah, so I think the response was great. I was very pleased with the response and those who had comments and things to say about it.
But, you know, one of the things, Jay, that, in ministry and you and I have been doing this a long time, but still there's this thought that, okay, you're up there and you're preaching your heart out or you're singing your heart out and you're just doing everything that you know to do. And just like you look out at the congregation and you say, they're not getting it. You can just look on their face and they're not getting it. But then you get the texts and you get the instant messages right. that come in. And that just tells you, you know, back to the story of what you're talking about here is like where there's discouragement and where, you know, you think you're all alone and this kind of thing. And so what we could say to people who work in ministry, it's when you least think that you're being used is when God is using you the most.
Well, very true. And you know, I think the important thing for all of us is to come to a place where we realize we're not performing. We're not entertainers. We're not performing.
Right.
You know, if we do things under the anointing and whatever, it is what it is. But, you know, we shouldn't plan those things and we shouldn't go into this with the idea of performance. Same if we're singing worship or anything else. We're not performing.
Right.
You know, this isn't Madison Square Garden and we're not putting on a concert.
Right.
We're in a place and we want it to sound good. We want it to look good and all of those things and so forth. So I'm not talking against that, but I think sometimes we become so performance minded, you know, that we really, we really lose sight of the anointing and that what we're preaching for God. We're not even preaching for man. And I think when we, as, you know, just to your point about helping the other ministers who might be watching, or especially young ministers who might be watching, when we take our eyes off of the people and we fully put our eyes on God, and we, number one, hear from God the message, and we're sure that every part of that message is from God, and it's not just stuff that, you know, that we're entering in from the flesh or anything else, but we're truly pursuing the sun came out from behind a cloud, so I'm squinting because I'm having a hard time seeing anything.
The scenery behind. I wish I could show the scenery behind you. It's just so pretty.
Right?
It's just gorgeous.
We need to bring all the gear up here and do it outside every morning.
well, I can do that instead of these four walls.
But we but I think when it does that, it allows us to speak exactly what God wants to say to people. And when we do that, it resonates with people and people respond to it. And, you know, so I think that's the important thing. And yeah, a lot of times we leave the pulpit and we get no comments. Well, that's okay.
Right.
If you did what God told you to, now if you're in yourself, then you got to deal with that. But if you've done what God told you to do, you've said what God told you to say, and it's fully in line with the Bible, not just what's in your head, sure, but it's in line with scripture, then I think we've put ourselves in a place where, you know, people have to respond to God, not to us. And, you know, it's a blessing when you have congregants who respond, not only in their lives, but respond in such a way that they reach out to you and have conversations with you about that. I think that would be the goal for all of us, but just don't expect it.
Right.
You know, just allow yourself to be focused on God and God only, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may from there.
When you think about, you know, I remember when I was a young pastor there in Cross Lanes, I remember that there was this one man that would tend to try to be the dictator of the church, and it was all based on, you know, what this person you know said. So it's like the applause of man is bondage. In the
Absolutely.
Worst kind of way. And so, you know, what I would wait on to know if it was a good service or not, or the message was good, is to check my email and see what he either complained about or what he liked about that. And, you know, and I'm thankful that I am free of that. But, you know, that's how that's how that people are. So if you're working in ministry, if you're involved in church, you know, we don't want to seek that emotion of approval of man. Yes, we want to work in unity with people, but we don't want to, you know, because, you know, ministry is not always popular.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes I think the greatest reward of ministry is when you see it evolving in people's lives. You know, because people aren't always going to tell you, hey, that message, you know, is exactly what I needed to hear because I'm struggling, or because, you know, I'm sinning, or because this, or because that. People aren't always going to be honest with you and tell you those things. But I think, you know, a lot of times we discern those things anyway, and we see those things and we're prayerful about those things. So I think sometimes the greatest reward of ministry is when you see people stepping out of casual, comfortable Christianity and embracing all that God is and all that God wants for the body. That's the greatest reward.
Absolutely.
Of ministry, or at least it is for me, is when I see people get it and make, you know, make distinct changes in their life and make distinct changes in the things they do and the things they say. To me, that's where the reward comes from.
So it's the response. It's the response of how that person is. There's a couple of questions that are out here, Jay. Kathy Kishner says, she says a question for Jay. She says, do you think that we are taught to seek after the high emotion by TV, by YouTube, etc., instead of seeking the Holy Spirit?
I think we are. I think especially in today's church culture, you know, where we place so much emphasis on the performance elements, you know, the light shows, I don't want to name anyone, but, you know, we've got all of these big name churches, and I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong, but we've got all of these big name churches who have these incredible stage performances and everything else. And, you know, we try to emulate that. We try to mock that. We try to be that. And, you know, we've become so performance minded,
right,
that
how it looks.
We have totally forgotten God. And right. And I think that's the point I want to make. I'm not saying, you know, we should make sure our performance is good, right?
Sure.
We should make sure that we're well studied, well prepared. You know, we know the scripture outline in and out, and, you know, to where we don't get up there and have a, oh, I don't know what I'm doing moment, you know, right? We don't want to do that, right? We want to make sure, you know, I encourage our worship team all of the time, you know, if, you know, a pet peeve of mine, I'll say this, a pet peeve of mine is people worshiping, reading the lyrics from their phone, you know? It's very difficult to lead a congregation into the presence of God like that. Right. So right. I get it. We're all human. We don't memorize all of the words or have all of the words memorized. And we try to have a screen in the back with the words on it to help the worship team out and those things too. So I get all of that. But, you know, if you're going to pick a song to do, you know the words, spend time with that song, know that song, become intimate with that song, you know, so that you That's can good. Minister that song to right. people. I get it. I work a full-time job, you know, 50 plus hours a week and pastor at the same time. I get that it's tough to find that time, you know, and I did this raising two boys who were crazy and wild and roughshod and run around doing crazy things all the time. So I get it's tough to find that kind of time, but you got to make that time. You got to find the place and you got to find the time and you've got to have that still small voice time with God to where you're becoming intimate with him and you're becoming intimate with the message you're going to preach and you're becoming intimate with the songs you're going to sing and you're becoming intimate with God in those things, right?
Right.
Just like God said, I'm not in the wind, I'm not in the earthquake, I'm not in the fire. I speak to those things, I command those things, and I make those things go. God becomes intimate with those things by speaking to them so that he can carry out whatever it is he's carrying out. We need to become intimate in our study, and we need to become intimate in our worship and preparation time.
Absolutely.
So that when we come into that moment of ministry, when we come into that moment that we're asking people to step into where we are, it's not flesh and it's not performance and it's not emotion. It is truly an outcry of what we've been doing with God. And so I encourage anyone at any level of ministry, you know, whatever you're doing in ministry, become intimate with it, you know, yeah. Become intimate with it, know it, spend time with it, you know, pray in it and pray over it and allow God to move you to where he is in those things, not just where you feel good about. And so that's why I'm saying it's, you know, it's never a beat anyone over the head kind of thing. Cause look, we're all busy. We all have stuff to do. We all have a lot of things going on and I totally respect that. You know, but what you do for God, do it with complete intimacy so that mm-hmm. you hear him and you know where he is and what he's doing. Don't just focus on the food.
You know, after you left here last Wednesday, after you talked about part five of Still Small Voice, and I just took so many notes that sparked so many interests to me that I ended up spending like 2 hours here at the Connect Center in front of a computer typing out a sermon series on temptation and it was amazing that you remember that part that you read about being drawn away from your own lust and enticed. That's when the temptation happens, is when you're drawn away. So I began to ask the question, okay, drawn away from what? When we're drawn away from Jesus, then that's when the temptation and the enticement comes from. And I preached a series off of what you talked to us about that day, because it was just getting into that intimacy with Jesus. We have another comment from Marty Gillespie from up in Braxton County. She said, it brings to mind a scripture, to be still and know that I am God. And if we if we don't sit still, it will let everything that's going on around us, the business of life overwhelming us, will never hear the still small voice. And that's
exactly
a true comment.
And that's what Satan wants. That's what Satan wants to do to us. Satan wants to drive us to this place to where we are so busy, we're so overwhelmed, and all of these other things around us are loud and noisy and roaring, because what are we going to give our attention to? We're going to give our attention to the chaos,
right?
Whether we like it or not.
Right.
And I tell people all the time, whether it's church, home, work, or whatever, whoa, I don't like chaos.
Right.
You know, so let's all take a deep breath, you know, and come to a rational place and so forth, because, you know, we're only going to mess something up in the midst of chaos.
That's true.
But yeah, she's 100% right. For us to hear the still small voice, you know, it goes back to that very first message of the series. We got to shut up, and we've got to be quiet. Yeah. See, I worked it in.
You did. You got it in there, didn't you?
you know, we've we've got to be quiet, and we've got to steal all of the crazy around us. And I think that has a lot to do with why the world is where it is today, is because, you know, the more they can keep us from finding the power of God and all of this stuff, then the more victory the world gets, the more victory Satan gets. And, you know, we have to find those moments and times to become intimate with God. And ultimately, that's what happened with Elijah here, is he had this great scripturally heroic moment. I mean, I have preached on this moment, I don't know how many times, and I've referred to this moment in my own life, I don't know how many times. And you know, this moment where he just becomes this cocky, fully anointed saint of God, who's like, yeah, pour more water on it. Yeah, you know what? Let's just dig a ditch here and pour water all around it. You know what? Let's pour more water on it. You know, I mean, he is so intimate with God in this moment, mm-hmm. that he's literally mocking, you know, he's literally mocking the ungod of the prophets. And the fact that they have nothing from which to pull their power. He literally comes to this anointed place to where he's mocking them, and he's making his task or God's task harder because he is that full of faith. Yeah. He was that intimate with God. And then once the power of that moment left him, and he started having to face the challenges and the threats and the things that came after that, then he began to be like, oh, shoot, mm-hmm. I'm all alone. You see, the big power, the big moment, he began to focus on the things of the world, you know, began to focus mm-hmm. on Jezebel and her threat, instead of remaining focused on this great big God that just did this great big incredible thing. Mm-hmm. From his voice. And I think that's why God teaches him this message. I think that's why God comes to him in this way and teaches him this thing is, look, there's times I'm going to move the wind.
Right.
And I'm going to break mountains for you. There's times I'm going to send an earthquake and I'm going to crumble a jail or crumble a city, like in Samson's case. There's times I'm going to send that power. You know, there's times I'm going to send fire and I'm going to consume a sacrifice and I'm going to allow you to destroy the prophets of hell, right? There are times I'm going to command the wind, and there's times I'm going to command the earthquake, and there's times I'm going to command the fire, but I'm not in those things, right. Elijah. I'm not in those things, and you need to be intimate with me,
right?
Not intimate with the things I do. And I think that's one of the biggest cries that I think today's church needs to hear, is we become very intimate with all of the performances, and we become very intimate with all of the feelings and all of the emotions. I'm not saying those things are bad, right? I shed a tear, I get goosebumps and everything else, and I love those moments. So I'm not saying those things are bad. But what I'm saying is we become very intimate with the moments.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't become intimate with God. And right. I think that's what God's teaching us here, or what he's ultimately teaching Elijah here and teaching us through Elijah. Because here's what he says. I was not in those things, but after the fire, a still small voice. Right? And then here's what goes on in their conversation. It says, and it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? God's asking him again, what are you doing here? And he said, I have been very jealous. And he repeats, I'm still freaking out. I'm still concerned about the, you know, what Jezebel's threatened me with. And I'm still concerned with all of these things. You know, yeah, I set a mountain on fire to consume, you know, the sacrifice and then slay the prophets of Baal. But now I'm freaking out. I'm worried. I'm concerned. And here's how it goes. And the Lord said unto him, and I like this. And I made an emphasis on this part in Sunday's message. And the Lord said unto him, what do we do a lot of times when we get in those whiny moments and those times where we're overwhelmed, and whiny isn't always overwhelmed. So I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings with that, but I'm just trying to be real and honest with you. What happens when we get in those moments where, you know, we become sidetracked by all of the distractions, whatever those distractions are, and we become overwhelmed with life, and we become overwhelmed with all of these things around us, and we starve, we begin starving for those big moments, right? We begin starving for the fire to consume this, and we want church to absolutely rock our world and everything else because we're no longer intimate with God.
Right.
Right. And because we're not intimate with God, we need something to move us into some kind of feeling like God's close. Right.
That's
and
good,
this is all what God's trying to work on with Elijah. He's saying, you know, dude, I'm not in the big stuff.
Right.
I'm a still small voice.
Right.
I'm a still small voice, and I'm speaking to you every day, and I'm moving in you every day, and I'm doing things in you every day so that you can go and do the things that I want you to do. So, you know, a lot of times when we're in those places of self-pity or apathy or whatever it might be, you know, we want someone to come and put their arms around us and, you know, everything's going to be okay. It's okay that you're not okay. And those things are all true, but we become a people that just wants to be gratified in our apathy.
Right.
We want people to just pat us and rub our back a little bit and say, God loves you and God's going to be okay. And all of this, God shows us here with Elijah, how God really reacts to these things, right?
Yes,
God didn't show up and, you know, have a cry session with Elijah. Right. God didn't show up and rub Elijah's back and then show up two or three or four more times and, you know, pity him.
Right.
You know, God doesn't pity us because God sees the power he has to give us.
Absolutely.
So God doesn't pity us. So what did God say? What did God say to Elijah in this moment? You know, Elijah's pouring his heart out. God, I just feel so alone. Everything's such a problem. I'm scared. I'm hurt. I'm running. I'm hiding in this cave and everything else. God shows up and says, "Go." Are we back?
Yeah,
God shows up and says, God says, "Yeah, dude. I'm not in all of those things. I'm a still small voice. So go."
Right.
I'm going to work power, and I'm going to work promise in you because of who I am,
right?
Not because of everything around you. So become intimate with me and become intimate with what I'm doing in your life and become intimate in the things that I'm asking you to do.
Right.
And I'll supply the wind. Yeah. I'll supply the fire. I'll supply all of these other things.
Right.
You just become intimate with what I'm asking you to do. So get up and go.
Yeah, that is good.
And
that's so good.
That's where God is.
Yeah. One thing that go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
One thing we're talking to Pastor Jay Mace from the Winfield campus of the Pulse, and we're on the phone with him today, and he's discussing the Still Small Voice series that he's been preaching. And we want to encourage you to get on Facebook and YouTube and be able to listen to all the episodes of the Still Small Voice that Jay has preached on the Pulse Winfield Live. Now, I want to share with you something that's kind of like a testimony on my part of this thing. And it's like I sit there and, you know, across the table at you most times on Wednesdays, and it's just like I'll start taking notes, and then it's like, yep, well, I need to fix that, and I need to fix that, and you know, and so it's always good, you know, to have that balance. And one thing that I've learned is, I run wide open, and I mean, and I always have run wide open. And so when I left banking, you know, 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, and you think, okay, I've never been a full-time pastor, never been in that ministry before, but yet, you know, you've been a businessman. So then you start looking at opportunities. You think, okay, we have the Christian school. What can we do with that? How can we help? And then we think, okay, I've had this dream of a daycare since 1989. And so, you know, you start moving into directions like that. And then you stand up there in church on Sunday morning and you do this. You say, good morning, everybody. We'd like to welcome you to the Pulse Church in Gassaway, where we have a daycare, we have a Christian school, we're on Spotify, Google Play, and we're on all this stuff, and we're so glad that you're here, but I don't have time for you because I'm so busy doing all these other things. Right. And so, you know, when we didn't open the Christian school back up and when I shut the daycare down, And they're both sitting idle. There's nothing wrong with that. Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You know, because somebody told me one time, they said, you run wide open. It's like, and so I have been able to learn some things through that at age 52 that I don't have to run wide open. God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, which he has. And he is, I mean, I cannot praise him enough for what he's done. But when you think about all those things, Jay, what do they pull you away from? They may be a great idea. They may be a great idea. And it may be ministry. And it may be wonderful. But it may not be the season for it.
Right. Well, I mean, I was a pre-law guy back in the day, a long, long time ago, and that didn't work out because I did an internship at a law firm, and I realized really quick the way they broke their lives and whatnot, and I just realized, okay, this is not where I want to be, and so I kind of tripped over the doorstep into what became my career, and I'm thankful for that. I love my job and I love what we do, and I'm connected with thousands. Literally thousands of people worldwide because of it. And, you know, it's been a great tool and learning experience for me. But what I always found, just like business constantly revolves and it constantly changes and you constantly, I guess that's evolves, not revolves. I know I do know the language. I just get carried away sometimes. and you have to make the changes and everything to keep up with the times in business. You know, I think as a church, we have to do things that are in line with what God's plan was. Because what we see here with Elijah is we see that Elijah's hiding in a cave, and he's not even acknowledging that God's sending angels who are baking him cakes. I don't know. I can't get past that. That's pretty crazy. I would have to think I'd do some kind of a dance if an angel of heaven showed up and baked me a cake.
You know, the first thing
I just think.
I know. My first thing is, Jay, is, okay, where do you plug in the oven?
Yeah.
That's where my brain goes. Right.
I would be completely... In one of those emotional moments, I would absolutely be beside myself if that happened. But Elijah, it had no bearing on Elijah. It had no effect on Elijah because he became so distracted with the stuff. He became so distracted with the things that were overwhelming him. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way. You know, I've always worked full time. I've always pastored bivocationally full time. And I've always had a little second or third job most of the times going on in my life. And I remember early in starting the Winfield campus, you know, I remember someone from our congregation saying something to me along the lines of, I don't know how you do it. And I said, well, it has everything to do with God. You know, it has everything to do with being intimate with him and being sustained by him and being empowered of him to do the things. Because just like business evolves, God is constantly moving and God is constantly working. And what we see is while Elijah was hiding away in the cave feeling sorry for himself, God had things he needed done.
Right.
God had things he needed done. God had things that, you know, for the furtherance of the kingdom and the furtherance of God's will and plan for man, God had things that he needed done. So he goes and he shows up and he's like, what are you doing here? you know, I need you to go here and do this. I need you to go here and anoint this person. And I need you to go here and call this person. And I need these things done, you know,
right.
I've fed you the cake. So we need to get moving right. with this. And I think the reason we aren't empowered, right? Yeah, the body gets tired. I joke all the time. Someone says something to me one time and I says, oh, I don't get tired. I don't get tired ever. I don't get tired. And they said, what? And I was like, yeah, I just stay that way. And everything
just stay that way.
You know, and you know, it's true. It's honest. The body gets tired or whatever.
All right.
But if we're not intimate with God and we're not intimate in the things that we're being called to do for God, then we will never get the power that God intends for us to have. We will never be empowered and we'll just kind of flow through, you know,
yeah.
We'll just, and you know, one thing I always tell our kids club leaders and everything else like this is don't allow yourself to get to a point in a place to where you're winging it.
Right.
Because there's no power in it. God can't anoint that and God can't bless that. If you're winging something that God's not even part of,
right.
Then he can't bring the wind and he can't bring the fire and the right. power to those types of things. You've got to become intimate with mm-hmm. what it is that you're doing.
When
you do, God will empower it and God will sustain you physically and spiritually to carry out his calling for your life. And I have yeah. never once in 30 years of ministry, and, you know, I've had to drive almost 45 minutes from where I live to the church I pastor or youth pastor or whatever, you know, plus two small kids and all of these things. So I have never once went to church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night and felt, oh, it's church night, right?
Right.
Why? Because I'm empowered. I'm
yeah.
spiritually empowered and I'm excited about what I want to see God do and how I want to see God work in people's lives and how I want to see God grow his plan for me and his plan for others every day. And people who treat their spiritual responsibilities or treat, you know, church alone like a drudgery and like, oh my gosh, church day, I really wish I could just sleep and everything else. Those are the people who aren't intimate with God.
Right.
Those are the people who are going through the motions and not allowing themselves to be empowered from that be still and know
right.
time, that be still and listen time, you know, that shut up
mm-hmm.
scenario. And that's why it was so important that we started this series out with that. And yeah, that has a little bit of shock value to it when you tell people to shut up, but it's to get mm-hmm. their attention and realize that you've got to come to that place where you choose to be intimate with God.
Right.
So God can empower you to do all that he's asking you to do.
And
you know, and the times I've struggled the most in all of that have been the times where I've allowed a whole lot of other things, probably needless things, to consume me.
Yeah.
Rather than just doing the things I had to do, which was, you know, get up, go to work, take care of my family, and spend intimate time with God to be drawn away with him.
Yeah, that's something that I've learned. And so now that, you know, things are not, you know, we don't have the school moving and we don't have the daycare moving and we're pastoring churches and we're doing, you know, the Pulse WV Live and the talk show on Friday, I could not tell you how fulfilled in ministry right now that I am at a slower pace. If that makes any sense, at a slower pace. I mean, you can't run wide open all the time. I mean, you just can't. Yeah. And so one thing that I am, and one thing that I wrote down here is that we get caught up in the distraction and it becomes a distraction.
Yeah. Which is exactly what the enemy intends for it to be.
Yeah. Because I tell you what, when the daycare was open, it was one problem after another. And I'm thinking, what in the world? This is not the vision, you know, of what I'm, you know, what I thought. So, you know, when you think about those things and then you think, okay, God, are you really in this? Are you really in that? So it's really caused me to step back and take a hard look at what God's in and what God's not in. And then what he's not in, you stop doing it. You know, it may be a great idea, and it may help.
Or become intimate with him early enough to know what he's in and what he isn't.
Absolutely. And so, so what I have been able to do, Jay, which is just, and I hold this up, is I have been able to spend some really neat time with God in the Word. And I can tell you, I'm telling you because I know this. I'm not saying what everybody else knows, but I'm telling you, I know. I can tell a difference in my preaching. I can tell a difference on who I am now because I've shed a lot of this stuff. And it's like I'm able to spend time, you know, I can watch Jonathan Shuttlesworth or I can watch a preacher or, you know, I can sit and take notes. But yet you're still in society and you're still ministering to people, but yet you're still getting fed yourself also. And I think that's one of the biggest things that causes burnout in ministry is people they're not replenishing and they're just give because they don't have time to replenish.
Right. Well, I think that, but I think too, I think again, going back to what we talked about in the beginning and, you know, we see so many suicides of pastors today and we see so much of this and I think that's the church's fault. I mean, I've said this before and I really, really do because it's not enough. It's not enough for someone to get up and share God's word with you on Sunday and then walk out, you know, into the congregation and love you Monday through Saturday.
Right.
You know, no, you've got to be bigger than life, you know, because, you know, we've got to compete or I'm not saying I don't feel this at all. I don't need to compete with any of them.
Right.
But you know, with social media and all of these different things, a lot of preachers and especially young preachers have put this mantle on their own shoulders that God never put on their shoulders, that they've got to compete with the Stephen Furticks and you know, the big churches that are out there. You can tell how much emphasis I put on that because none really come to mind, but you know, we believe that we've got to compete with those things. And the reality is we don't.
Right.
The reality is that you can say, well, it's God because, you know, it's scripture, it's emotional, it's moving and all of these, but I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the tidbits from some of those guys that you see on Facebook and different things where they clip out a 10 second piece and show it and everyone's sharing it and rah, 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 rah. I've searched out that whole message and, you know, the liturgy and the doctrine of the rest of everything else wasn't really a whole lot to hang your hat on,
right?
You got a 10-second rah-rah clip
right.
that you're putting out there. And I think what's happening, and I don't say that to belittle anyone, but what I say is just to be truthful, I think what's happening is we're making church this thing where we're rah-rahing everyone, you know, for 15, 20 minutes and then giving them nothing else.
Right.
And, you know, we're giving them nothing else. We're not loving them. We're not loving and leading from among them. You know, we're like you said before, we're too busy or we're too important or we're too high minded, you know, to spend time with them and love them and nurture them and encourage them like Jesus did, which should be our first indication that, oh, we're not doing this the way Jesus did. There's probably something wrong.
Right.
But we're too high minded for that. And on top of that, we're creating this culture of emotionalism. We're creating this culture of if you get a happy, feel good, empowered, you know, moment, even though we're not giving you a whole lot of doctrine or anything else behind it, live on that for the week and then come back next Sunday. Well, no, you're going to live on that for a few hours, maybe a day at most, but very few are ever going to become intimate enough with that to where it sustains them throughout life and throughout ministry.
Yeah.
And I really think that's what God is teaching Elijah here in this moment is God is saying, look, don't follow me. Don't serve me, you know, and everything else just because I send fire and consume an altar. I command those things. I'm not in those things,
right?
You know, and you know, I command, you know, the Spirit to move during worship. I command the anointing during a sermon. I command those moments, and I command those things, but I'm not in those things.
Right.
Right. You need to become intimate with me. And that's where Elijah was failing. And right. It's where we fail a lot too.
Yeah.
You know, we want the oomph and power and prestige
lights, camera,
of the
action.
Moment. But yeah, exactly. But we, you know, we don't want to become intimate. And I think the fact that we see that not only does God show up, you know, he provides the filling, he provides the sustaining power through the cakes that he gave and everything else. And, you know, Elijah's still not in a moment where he's ready to get up and go himself again, because he's not intimate and empowering himself with right. God, to where God shows up and says, dude, what are you doing here? I've got things for you to do. I've got lives for you to change. I've got cities for you to change. I've got nations that are dependent on what I'm asking you. Nations, John.
Yeah.
Nations. I've got nations who are dependent on what I'm asking you to do. Elijah, what the heck are you doing in this cave?
All right.
Right? And I, to me, that says a whole lot.
Yeah.
That he didn't waste a whole lot of time going through the apathy and the pity and everything else that Elijah had going on. He didn't even acknowledge it.
Right.
He just said, go.
Yeah.
Go here and do this. Go here and do this. Go here and do this. I will supply your need. I will supply the power. I will supply your need.
Yeah.
Fully.
It kind of reminds me of Jonah. You know, it's like Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he goes and he hides and you know, and he gets shipped. I mean, he gets thrown off the boat and puked up on the shore, and he finally goes. But you know what I've learned through that story that ties in with this story is that you still got to do what God says.
Right.
You can still pity.
Yeah, I'd rather him bake me. I'd rather he bake me a cake and tell me to go.
Right.
Than to put me in the gut of a well and I get thrown up, and as part of that thrown up, I'm there and I land on the beach. So
yeah
I'd much rather him just be a tough God, and say, Jay, shut up and go.
Yeah, because here's what I learned through what you're saying, and then through the story, you know, of Jonah. God listened to him. And God heard them out, and you know, but they still had to do what God said, and so I think people think, you know, that, well, God will just get somebody else. You know, we are called to make disciples. We are called to lead people to Jesus, and no matter what we're going through, you know, if there's been a death of a parent, or if there's been a sickness of some kind, that doesn't change. The coronavirus doesn't change people's callings.
Nope.
You know, nothing
and
changes.
It doesn't change God's plan.
And it doesn't change God's plan. And so, you know, as we sum this up today, you know, you can go hide in a cave all you want to and die without fulfilling your calling if you want to do that. But you don't have to do that. You just got to get yourself around people that will help you through the process. Don't think that you have to do it alone. You don't have to sit in a cave by yourself thinking, woe is me. Wow. It's amazing how that ties in. How do you want to end today? What do you want to tell people and pray for people?
Well, I just want to, you know, I just want people to understand that, you know, God sees where you are and he understands what you're going through. But a lot of times we go through what we go through because we choose not, you know, to be still and know that he's God. We choose to crowd him out and then wonder where he is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work like that. The real power and the real hope and the real promise comes when we acknowledge him and we allow him to direct our paths.
Yes.
And then to command power and promise into our life, right? He promises us. He promises us
so good.
A lot of things in Scripture. But when we choose to crowd him out, he can't deliver those things. So, you know, it goes back to what the person from Gasaway said. You know, we've got to be still, know that he's God, and listen and become intimate with him, and quit winging it. Really allow ourselves to become what we want ultimately. If we see God's calling in our life as this, but then we're crowding him out, we're never going to get this.
Right.
We're never going to get what we feel we're called to or what we've been called to.
Right.
Or if Satan, we keep allowing Satan to replace it with other things.
Right.
That at the end of the day really isn't going to matter because it's all going to burn up.
Right.
We will never achieve what God ultimately called us for.
Right.
So I encourage you, be intimate. You know, if you want to be seen as strong and powerful and courageous for the Lord, then the best way for you to reach that is to be still, humble yourself, and become intimate with God.
Wow, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. Can you give us an update on if somebody wants to come in, when somebody wants to come in and visit and be a part of your campus, what do they need to do?
Yeah, we are still meeting in the Copper Room, which is part of Hidden Creek Mercantile in Hurricane. We're meeting there each week. Mary Zygmunt, who owns Hidden Creek Mercantile and Hurricane Floral, a member of our congregation, has been extremely gracious and given us that location to where we can meet while we're displaced from Winfield. You know, there is hope with this new change that the governor's done and school may be getting in. There is some hope that in a few weeks or so, you know, there might be some consideration for letting us back into Winfield Middle School. And, you know, that's our hope and that's our goal. I mean, we're planted in Winfield for a reason. But right now, he's put us where he's put us, and he's orchestrated his hand in that. And, you know, so we're not slowing down. I, for a while, I think with this thing, I was kind of sitting back and being like, well, let's wait and see. Well, let's wait and see. Well, let's wait and see. Well, I'm done waiting and seeing. I'm ready to get moving again. I'm ready for the church to grow again. I'm ready for God to do God things again. I'm done with the whole wait and see thing. So we're gonna start attacking God's plan for our church and God's plan for our life. And in the immediate, we're gonna still be meeting in the Copper Room in Hurricane, which is right there on Main Street, very easy to find. So if you have any information, reach out to us on our Facebook page through Messenger, and we'll get you all the information and love to have you join us.
Now, what do you do over here at the Connect Center? When's all that start back up, and what's going to go on?
Our ladies group, just because we have several school teachers, so just because of all they're going through, instead of starting our ladies group back in September, they're going to be starting back the 1st of October. And I haven't heard what their initial plan is as far as what type of study they're going to do or whatever they're going to do that. We've got some work going on where we're making plans for our men's ministry to get going again, maybe have a day of going to a gun range and then some devotion afterwards and everything else, because, you know, guys like to shoot and break things.
Yeah.
So we'll work that into our men's ministry as well. But we've got some discussion for that going on as well. And then we're also looking there at the Connect Center. And if TJ and Medora are listening, we haven't really spoken about this yet, but we want to, we want to get something going again for our 3, 5, 6 teens. Again, I'm past the waiting and seeing stage, so we need to figure out how to make God happen in people's lives.
Absolutely, that is so awesome. You want to pray?
I will. I'll pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word, for the privilege of hearing your word. God, let us never get beyond understanding the privilege that we have to hear from you and for you to move in our lives and direct our paths and to show us the things of heaven in this life. God, we are humbled and privileged by that. And so, God, we just thank you that you count us part of that. But God, we're also privileged to share what you've given us, the things that you've intimately shown us and spoken to us, Lord. We are passionate about sharing that and helping other people to see that and grab onto that and allow it to change their lives and move them in the direction that you want for them to go. Lord, let us always lead from among the people. Let us always bring glory to your name in our conversations and our interactions with people. And God, let us love like you love. And let us lift up the name of Jesus in everything that we do. Bless each person listening today or who will listen in the days to come across the broadcast. And just let your name be glorified, Jesus. We pray in your name.
Pray in your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we pray that you have a great day. So you cutting grass today?
I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'm forced to quarantine. I'm forced to quarantine because of this procedure on Monday. And so I'm kind of like forced to take sick time for it. So I'm here and I'm not sick. So I don't know. I'll probably cut grass or weed eat things that, you know, I can't normally do during the week because I'm at work. So wow. It is what it is, and I'll make the best of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, God's using you, brother, and I pray he just gives you revelation on a lot of things. Amen.
Yeah, he's awesome. We appreciate it.
Hey, if you'd like to, if you're encouraged by this ministry and you want to give to this ministry, there's three different ways that you can. ThePulseWV.com on our website, or you can text the word Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, to 1-304-244-3187. It's on the screen, or the old-fashioned way of if you want to bless this ministry with a check, P.O. Box 141, Gasaway, 26624 in West Virginia, and God will bless you. And so thank you so much, Pastor Jay, for being a part of the Pulse WV in the morning. And that's about the only time that I play Skillet is when is when he's on this show. And I know people like Skillet, so all right, we'll leave with that today. So I just pray that you have a great day, and we'll be back tomorrow. I believe John Sandy will be with us tomorrow. We moved the schedule around just a little bit, and so I think John Sandy will be here tomorrow. And then don't forget, tomorrow night is the Pulse WV Live, and that's where we get into politics and Christianity, and we'd love for you to be able to tune in and be a part of that as well. Okay. Hey, have a great day, everybody. We love you all, and thank you so much for watching the Pulse WV Live in the morning. Have a great day. Can't resist.